Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Oh yeah. Hello everyone and welcome once again. It's that time again, always on a Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am JT, aka the Master. And as always, at this time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are the FSP Crew Show. I'm the Master, like I said, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, my fellow Jersey guy, Jeff the Joker. And believe it or not, the Terrible Three are back again tonight because we are blessed with my man from DC, Black, Mike Wright. So we are the FSP Crew Show, and we got a great show in store for you. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to all three. How's that? We got a chat room sitting out there for you also. If you'd like to lay your knowledge in that chat room or ask a question or make a statement in there, you can do so at your pleasure and at your leisure. Like I said, we got a great show in store for you tonight. We got some groundbreaking news that it's going to be a first for an NFL game. Also going to talk about the NBA. Also going to talk about a bad boy coming out of Denver, and get our thoughts on that also. But without further ado, and I'm going to bring in my esteemed co-host that I haven't talked to in a while, and I'm glad he's here tonight from the DC area, Black, and then Jeff. What's up, guys?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on? Good to be here, man.
Hey, Black, welcome back. nice to have you. Feels like
glad to be here, man. Glad to be here. NBA Finals night, and I'm excited, man.
I'm very excited, and it happens to be all three of us, man. I can't even remember the last time all three of us on air at the same time, but it's a good thing, and we got a few things we want to talk about. We can go to the NFL. We can go to NBA. Let's do this. I want to go to the NFL first because I'm going to see and we'll see. All three of us will see, and the viewing public of the NFL will see what the NFL is going to do about the arrest of Pat Bowlen's son. And his name happens to be John Bowlen. Pat Bowlen, if no one knows, is the owner of the Denver Broncos. And his son, John Bowlen, had been arrested for a domestic violence charge. He's been on administrative leave from the organization. He is an administrative employee within the organization, and he is going to be supposedly held accountable by the club and league conduct policies. So I don't know.
Is there a run on domestic violence in the NFL? I mean, I'm in the D.C. area right now, and we have a late-breaking story with Jamison Crowder, the Washington Redskins, the rookie wide receiver. I don't know if you guys noticed his Instagram, but one of his, I guess his alleged girlfriend, got a hold of his Instagram and posted pictures of some bruises and a cut lip.
On who?
On Jamison Crowder's Instagram. It's since been taken down, but the Washington Redskins are investigating this story.
And who are the bruises and cuts on? That's what I'm talking about.
It's on the female. She posted a picture onto Jamison Crowder's Instagram.
Oh, see, you know, I'm telling you, man. I don't know if it's a run. Maybe it's just all this bad is coming to light right now. And you would think, let me put it this way. You would think that within the last 8 months, 9 months, give or take a month or two, that all the things that have been taking place that has to do with some type of domestic violence or even child abuse, that these guys, for whatever reason, for whatever intents and purposes, will be on their P's and Q's and keep their emotions in check. Obviously, that's not the case. Ray McDonald seems like he don't get it. You're talking about Crowder. He may not get it. John Bolin, owner of Pat Bolin, is probably, you know, and I hate to say it like this, but I'm going to say it like this because that's how I feel. Spoiled real little rich kid. And probably thought he could do whatever he wanted to do because his daddy owns a team. He got a bunch of money. Obviously that's not going to be the case. And, I don't know what you guys thoughts are, but, doesn't seem like any of these guys making all this money, regardless of what portion of the NFL they work in, or part of the NFL they work in, don't get it that you can't do that, and it'll jeopardize all the money that you make, and it may even blackball you, which I think that's what they did or doing to Ray Rice. I'm going to go to Black first, and then Jeff.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm just hearing about Pat Bowling, son. I didn't even know that was going on. But these guys have to be quiet. You look at a guy like Crowder. He hasn't even played an NFL game yet. How could you allow yourself to be caught up in something like this? I mean, if you have Instagram, you're around your girl, love out. Don't let her go on and then you abuse her and let her put pictures up. That's just crazy.
Hey, Jeff, what's your thoughts, man?
Yeah,
this is getting crazy. This is crazy.
I mean, most people are aware that Pat Bowlen had to step down from running the Broncos because of his Alzheimer's.
Right.
And he has seven children. John is one of them. He was a low-level employee. I think they were hoping one of Bowlen's children was going to step up and run the team. It doesn't look like it's going to be this one. I don't know how many others are work for the team. Also, a lot of these owners supposedly set up their family members with no-show jobs, but I don't think that was the case. But last year, John Elway's son got in trouble for domestic violence. I think he plea bargained it, and I don't think he works for the team, but, it's like they got a problem, a serious problem over there. And earlier in the week, the Falcons cut a linebacker who was got in trouble for killing his girlfriend's dog. And, it's not funny.
I'm just laughing because it's like, come on, man. I mean, come on.
And you know, of all teams, Atlanta, because, you know, they had the Michael Vick thing a few years back. And, it's like, man, you know, it's just like, come on, guys. Don't assault women, children, or animals. It's pretty pretty darn simple, you know. Now, the thing is, you wonder if Commissioner Goodell, how he's going to handle executives and relatives of owners as opposed to players who he likes coming down hard, you know, on these players. Tom Brady's appeal, not for domestic violence, but for other misconduct, is going to Goodell, which I'm not digging that because, you know, the punishment was from Troy Vincent. So, boom, it's going to Goodell, who happened to hire Vincent and supervises Vincent. That's not a real appeal. But that's typical NFL nonsense, which, you know what, you're leaving the door wide open for to get appeal in court if that's the case. So, whatever.
Well, in that vein, Jeff, that was a collective bargain. So the Players Association agreed to that the commissioner had a discretion on which way he wanted to go with an appeal. And one of them being that he could be the person that hears the appeal, which he's going to do. So I understand what you're saying. He'd gotten it wrong before. It's been overturned or reduced before, and it could happen again. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Greg Hardy had his appeal heard on Thursday, and the argument that he's putting forth was that the offense took place, or the he was punished with the, I wouldn't say punished, but he was put on the commissioner's exempt list before the revamping of the penalty for domestic violence. So he's going along the same vein as Adrian Peterson, who won his appeal that he shouldn't have 10 games. I don't know exactly what amount of penalty it was before. Goodell decided to give him 10 games, but he's probably in line also to win his appeal because the fact is it took place before they revamped the domestic violence penalties. So it's a hot mess. Let me put it that way. And they are in a collision and high impact sport and high stress level on the field. And I guess, and I'm not making excuses for anybody, but I guess, and I think you guys know where I'm going, that these guys need some type of relief. And who's ever in the way is going to be the unfortunate person to have to deal with any off-field issues or stress relief that these football players or anybody in the NFL have to deal with. Now, I have no idea about this kid, Pat Bowlen's kid in the organization. He's not a football player. So who knows what, I mean, they didn't come out with any details. Let me put it that way. So all you know that he got arrested for domestic violence. The team put him on administrative indefinite leave or indefinite leave of absence from the organization. And I can guarantee there's going to be eyes to look at what they're going to do, especially the Players Association, and everyone else is going to see what the NFL is going to do with this kid because he's part of the NFL, regardless of what capacity he is. He's part of the NFL. And have to see if he's going to met it, if the commissioner or somebody's going to met out the same type of punishment or something close to it that they did to the players. This is an owner's son. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. I wanted to get to something. I don't know if you guys heard about this or not. And this is, in my opinion, is pretty groundbreaking. Yahoo. Yes, Yahoo has got an NFL deal. And what they have done is this: Yahoo has come into agreement with the NFL to broadcast live stream over the internet through Yahoo, first ever global live stream of a football game between the in week seven between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Buffalo Bills, which is going to take place in London on October 25th. It's exclusively on Yahoo. So, I mean, you'll be able to watch it on TV, I imagine, but you could also be able to watch it on over the internet. And the price, you couldn't get any better than the price that they're offering. It's that wonderful four-letter word that everybody likes, free. It's free. So this is going to be a groundbreaking thing. Now, I don't know how many times that the Yahoo or whoever decides to live stream these NFL games is going to allow it to be free, but I can imagine that this is something they want to see what type of audience they have when they do live stream it. And then it's just another way, probably in the future, a not too distant future, probably, to gather some more revenue from the NFL and whoever decides to live stream it, whatever website decides to live stream it, Yahoo or whoever. I don't know if you guys heard about this. I just want to get your thoughts on it. I'll go to Jeff first and then Black.
I did hear it. I'll be honest. I didn't quite grasp the significance of it because I don't watch games like that. I mean, you know, if Buffalo and Jacksonville, if that was a pro wrestling match in London, what would they call it? The loser gets to stay in London or something like that, you know? Because there's been talk about both of those franchises possibly moving to London, which I'll tell you is very complicated. It would take a lot for that to happen because you got to deal with, you know, visa, working visas and that sort of thing. And hope it doesn't happen. And then there's the three other teams who are positioning to move to LA, but that's a different issue. But you know, the NFL, they're sharp. They know how to monetize. They know how to make money, and that's what they're good at.
What's your thoughts, Black?
That is definitely a game where I'll probably be either taking a nap or going to Fox to CBS to see what my other options are.
Oh, I have no
answers to saying that at all.
Well, let me ask you this then. Suppose it was, and I'm just trying to think of a team that suppose it was Cincinnati, and would you watch that?
I definitely would take a look at that.
Okay. So it's not so much the, the two teams involved, Jacksonville and the Buffalo Bills, being as they've been perennial losers or nondescript teams. But I think both these teams are going to surprise a lot of people. Jacksonville's got a lot of talent, a lot of young talent that came in the last 2 years. And Buffalo, that defense, and then they're trying to work up that the offense with a running back and some wide receivers. It may be a very interesting game, but I understand the thinking because it's a nondescript teams, perennial, for the most part, losers. And they're not the most popular teams to watch, whether it's on TV or online. All right, let's move on to this. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, speaking of the Buffalo Bills, they're in the news too, again, with another team that's got issues. Seems like the Buffalo Bills are trying to be a drawing card for these other teams that have issues. Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be live streaming on October 25th. And in when the summer rolls around and the training camp rolls around, the Browns and the Buffalo Bills will hold 2 days of joint practice before they meet in a preseason game. Now, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because as this dysfunctional as the Cleveland Browns are, with your boy, Johnny Manziel, Black.
Johnny Football.
Yeah, Johnny Football. Johnny No Football. Let me put it that way. That's what I think of him, not Johnny No Football. It's going up against Sexy Rex and his Buffalo Bills. Since then, they're not going to be in Hard Knocks. They're going to go and get be in a couple of practices against a very dysfunctional team. And a lot of people are going to be watching just what the Buffalo Bills are going to be about. So Jacksonville's jumping on board, trying to grab some of that headlines with the Buffalo Bills, and now Cleveland also is going to do the same thing. What's your thoughts, man, if anything, about the Buffalo Bills and the Cleveland Browns? It's nothing new. Teams this all the time have joint practices before they play a preseason game. What's your thoughts on this, Black and Jeff?
I'm interested to see who the starting quarterbacks will be. Both teams are still looking for quarterbacks, it looks like. I don't know if EJ earned that starting job back yet or not, but it'll be interesting to see.
What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, some teams have joint practices in preseason, you know, in training camp. Not all teams. The Giants, I know, they're going to be doing joint practices with Cincinnati. They haven't done it in a while. I think Seattle and Denver should do real joint practice now that marijuana is legal in both of those states. It was too easy, guys. I couldn't lay off of that one, right? Because that's the way things are going. But, you know, whenever I hear about the joint practice thing, I mean, it makes sense because the teams don't bring enough players to camp to have intra-squad games. In the early 80s, for whatever reason, I think it's literally to save a few dollars, which I think proportionally isn't much, that the NFL teams don't bring as many guys to camp as they used to. And I know it costs money to bring guys to camp, but you don't have to sign a guy to a real contract to bring him to camp for a few weeks. I don't know why they can't. Well, I know why, but they really should be able to bring more guys to camp. It would be, I think they're allowed about 80 now. They used to be, some teams would bring over 100 guys to camp. I mean,
right.
It cost
right.
them a few bucks, but, you know, Dallas, when they were, you know, way ahead of everybody in the 70s, they bring a ton of guys to camp. But, you know, it was a little bit of an investment for them, but it enabled them to discover, you know, undrafted free agent talent, guys like Drew Pearson, you know, guys like that wouldn't even be invited to camp now. And then what happens is you need ways to develop players who aren't ready after college and there's no real minor league system, at least with larger training camp rosters, at least you'd be able to get those guys in pads and see what they could do. So for whatever reason, though, it's, you know, these guys, you know, they really watch the pennies, you know. I don't get it, but whatever. That's the way it goes in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing about the Buffalo Bills, because either the Bills have been in the headlines because of the two things I just talked about, or a player of the Bills has been in the headlines. And I'm talking about the obviously disgruntled running back that was previously playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. And now he's with the Buffalo Bills. And stands by his claims about Chip Kelly doesn't like star black players. He's speaking publicly Wednesday for the first time since accusing Philadelphia's Eagles coach Chip Kelly of considering players' race in the roster decisions. LeSean McCoy defended his comments and confronted reporters who pressed him on the subject. This is his quote. "I don't have to explain myself to nobody. Nobody. I don't. I said what I said what I felt at the time, and I'm done with that." Now, they wanted some follow-up questions about the issue of Kelly and race. And McCoy, and this is a quote from him, "Did you hear what I just said here? Then why do you? I just told you I'm not talking no more about Chip Kelly or the Eagles, so I'm done with that. You can ask me about the Bills." Quite naturally, the fire is getting fanned here. So some other reporter asked him a question about why hasn't he returned Chip Kelly's phone calls. Because if anybody remembers, Chip Kelly in his last press conference said he's been trying to reach out through phone calls with LeSean McCoy, and he's got no response. McCoy responded, "Yo, are y'all listening to me? Can I say it any other way? I'm not talking about Chip Kelly or no Eagles. So I'll be done with this interview if nobody else has anything to say about the Bills." Okay. For the most part, that's what was said in the last interview that he had, a press conference that he had. I'm talking about LeSean McCoy. Chip Kelly had responded and had said he'd been trying to reach out to McCoy. Obviously, the two haven't talked. LeSean said he stands by his words about Chip Kelly and how he fears about African-American football players. I'll go to Jeff first and then Black on your thoughts on both of them, Chip Kelly and LeSean McCoy. Jeff.
Now, I thought NFL coaches are not allowed to talk to players who are on other teams. I'm serious. They have a lot of strict rules about that. I mean, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but I could have sworn I heard after Donovan McNabb was traded to the Redskins that Andy Reid had asked permission from the league, I think, to, you know, just to give McNabb a phone call, to, you know, which would make sense because they had been together a long time. So I maybe Kelly asked for permission, whatever. It's possible. I think I said this last week. I mean, if Kelly was a real racist, I don't think he would have got far in coaching, but you never know. But I think Kelly, you know, I think if anything, he's biased towards his Oregon guys. And, you know, he's been bringing in a lot of those, but a lot of other coaches do the same thing. They bring in guys they're familiar with. I heard what McCoy had to say, but, you know, it's hard to prove. It is. And, you know, Kelly, you know, he's all about his system and whatever. And, you know, maybe he wants to prove he could do it with anybody, but in the NFL, you know, you prove yourself to be a good, you know, better than good player. You want to get a lot of money, and a team can't keep all their good players. That's just the way it goes in the NFL. So, yeah, it's, I'll tell you, if with all the changes, if the Eagles could win and actually, you know, get to the playoffs and win a playoff game this year, I think a lot of people will be impressed.
What about what thoughts, Black?
Man, this guy had black players in Oregon. He's had black players with the Eagles.
Yep.
I don't know what to think of it. It's a non-story to me, really.
Okay. Well, how about this non-story? I'm going to the big star down in Dallas. I'm talking about the running back who got arrested for underwear and cologne or something like that. I'm talking about Joseph Randall, who comes out and says that his departed fellow running back, DeMarco Murray, left a lot of meat on the bone. Now, he ran for a rushing title, and he ran pretty well, unlike his counterpart. I'm talking about Joseph Randall, who's has done some knuckleheaded things off the field, and now he's got an opportunity to be the starting running back if he, one, keeps his nose clean, and two, puts the work in on the field. Supposedly had talked to him and told him to pay attention to what you're doing on the field and stop your jawjacking. Black, I'm gonna ask you first. Is this guy a knucklehead that he don't get it? What's going on? Talk to me.
Are they going back and forth?
Excuse me?
Is he going back and forth with DeMarco?
No. I'm just saying he made a comment. DeMarco Murray didn't hasn't responded to it, as far as I know.
Oh, okay.
Don't they want to respond to with the reorganization?
I like Ryan's spiciness, man. I definitely like his spiciness. I can even feel him on that quote. If you go back and watch that Dallas and Green Bay game, I think that's what Ryan was referring to. There was one particular play where, I mean, DeMarco could have ran for 60 yards. They took the wrong hold. So I feel where Randall's coming from. I like the flashiness from the guy, but he has a lot to prove this season. But it shouldn't be that high because our offensive line just looks outstanding.
Jeff, you're an opposing NFC East on the team. Talk to me about this, who I think is, I hate to say it, Black, a knucklehead. Talk to me.
You're right, because you know what? Even if he thinks that, you know, hey, let's see what you can do. You know, exactly. That's the bottom line. And Black is right. I hate to say it, but that Dallas offensive line is the best in the NFL, and that might have improved. I guess the only challenge will be getting everybody paid as the contracts expire, keeping everybody healthy. But they stole a guy in the draft, and it's rare for an NFL team to have five above-average offensive linemen. To have six is almost unheard of. The running backs will be beneficiaries of that. And Randall, he has a golden opportunity. I forget the name of the other guy. They're bringing back Dunbar, McFadden, who's always injured. I mean, maybe he'll be a good third down back, but I just don't imagine McFadden as a full time three down running back. I just don't see that happening. So,
he'll be a change of pace for him.
Yeah, I think he's only had one good year in the NFL, or one very good year. I think he's only had 1,000-yard season. Occasionally he has done well with a horrible team, the Raiders, and he's a pretty good receiver. Who knows? And Dallas possibly could have the dreaded three-man committee this year.
Okay. With that being said, we're talking about running backs, and one of the best running backs in the league decided to come back, held a press conference. First, his coach held a press conference, and then right after that, he stepped to the podium, and he was questioned extensively and answered every question. Talking about AP all day, Adrian Peterson, whatever way you want to call him. He's now back in OTAs and practicing with the Minnesota Vikings I guess there's no guarantee that he's going to get any kind of money guaranteed on his contract, that he's got 3 years left. He's getting 13 plus million this year. I guess once his head coach, who says he really loves his head coach and coaching staff, came out and said either he plays for us, he plays for no one. That pretty much put it right there on the line that, either you play or you're just going to sit out and waste away. He decided to get paid his 13 point something million dollars and play for the Minnesota Vikings and shut his mouth. What's your thoughts, Black? Then Jeff.
Yeah, there was no way that AP was going to sit out and miss out all that money. So he's making a very smart decision coming to camp and playing. I'm just surprised him to take this stance and not give Teddy Bridgewater a shot, man. You got a dual threat quarterback right there. Go ahead and line it up from day one. You guys get acquainted and get that offense going. I think that offense is going to be something to see this season.
What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm glad, not really have much of an opinion, but I'm glad Peterson came to his senses because he was speaking foolishly before. I don't know if somebody pulled him to the side or what. He said they didn't stand by him. Well, got a little carried away disciplining his son. It's really hard to stand by a child abuser. And Hey, they paid him $15 million not to play last year. I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, he wanted to play, but it's not like they caught him. You know, it's not like they didn't pay him. I mean, just very foolish. And Bridgewater looked pretty good by the end of last year, and he will definitely benefit from having a real top-notch running back, which I think Peterson still is, because, yeah, they had that guy, Asiata, last year. Oh, God. He was a good goal line running back, but that guy, I think he was averaging about 2 yards a carry.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, nah, he was not pretty. That guy, I think, with all due respect, is a little more of a fullback. He's not much of a halfback. Runs tough, but doesn't run far.
From Asiata.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with the mad scientist, the creative genius that is Norvell Turner as an offensive coordinator. And I'm not saying that to be sarcastic. I'm saying that sincerely, that North Turner, his niche in the NFL is to be an offensive coordinator, and he's one of the best at doing that. AP should have a banner year because he likes to feature the running back and the tight end in North Turner's offense. So I would think AP and Kyle Rudolph, if he can stay healthy, should benefit from the Norville offense. And then he likes to take shots down the field with the wide receivers. So there'd be maybe a few guys in that Minnesota Vikings offense, with the base being Adrian Peterson running the football, that can benefit and do a few good things in real life football, and then also in fantasy. All right, one more thing I want to touch in the NFL, but it's off the field. 2015 began with an Aaron Hernandez murder trial, and guess what, fellas? It'll end with one too. The double murder case arising from a drive-by shooting in the south end of the Boston, is Aaron Hernandez going to be going on trial on December 1st for that? So he's getting a double whammy. 2015 may not be a good year for, well, hasn't been so far, and beginning of it, and the end of it definitely won't be. He may be serving another term because of the possible conviction starting in with the trial in December 1st. I don't know if you guys want to comment on that before we move on, but I'll give you the opportunity. I'll go to Black first and then Jeff.
Hernandez, I've never seen a guy who's so done in all my life. I don't even know if he's going to live to serve all his sentence, man. He got in a prison fight, a couple weeks back?
Yep.
It's going to be a rough road for Hernandez. It's a rough road for Hernandez.
You know, he's a bad apple, to put it nicely. And this guy had a golden opportunity. He really did. He'd already proven himself in the NFL. He got a nice contract, and he blew it. You know, I just don't know how to put it. And I think, yeah, he'd rather be a thug than be have the, you know, comfortable life of an NFL star, because he really had the opportunity with 2 years ago when you know, Gronk, I think, missed most of the year. But you know, this is bigger than football. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, that even proved so when he was at University of Florida, that he wasn't a nice guy. I think he was involved in the shooting down there, and he got off. I don't know about gotten off, but he got away with it, or whatever you want to say it. All right, one more thing before we get to the NBA. and we're going to college basketball. And I think Black knows where I'm going with this. The NCAA alleges 5 serious breaches against the University of North Carolina. They had a long-running academic fraud scandal, which now includes 5 NCAA charges, including a lack of institutional control for poor oversight of an academic department popular with athletes and the counselors who advise them. Now, this sounds familiar, especially when they say lack of institutional control. When that comes up, you know that they're in trouble. The school released a 59-page notice of allegations Thursday from the NCAA, which uses the document to specify violations uncovered during an investigation. The charges were more broad-based and focused on individual sports, with the NCAA regarding academic irregularities in the formerly named African and Afro-American Studies Department as potential improper benefits by saying athletes received access to courses and other assistance generally unavailable to non-athletes. No coaches were named in the 5 allegations, though one dealt specifically with the conduct of a women's basketball advisor for providing too much help on research papers. She probably did the whole thing herself. UNC must file a response to the NCAA within 90 days of the receiving the notice, which would likely lead to a hearing with the infractions committee, followed by a ruling weeks to months later. And Bubba Cunningham, who's the athletic director for UNC, quotes, everybody wants to bring closure to this. It's not a pleasant chapter in the history of the university. The list of charges include counselors providing special arrangements to athletes by working with AFAM, faculty and staff, and that's that African and Afro-American studies faculty and staff, such as requesting course offerings or obtaining assignments for athletes over a roughly 9-year period starting in 2002. In charging a lack of institutional control, the NCAA said that school didn't do enough to monitor that department or the academic support program for the athletes. That allowed counselors to use the irregular courses to help keep at-risk athletes eligible, particularly in the sports of football, men's basketball, and women's basketball. All 5 charges considered potential level 1 violations, described by the NCAA as severe breach of conduct. And Cunningham said it's too early to speculate on possible or potential sanctions the school should face. And I'm not going to read the rest of it, but
I smell a death penalty in UNC Houston.
It sounds like a
lot of infractions there. 2002 to
the present, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on a minute. Let me look. A 9-year, 2002 to 2011, 9-year period.
Yeah, that's another death penalty coming for Carolina. That is just terrible. I think it's a couple of weeks or months. See Roy Williams make a statement, and I don't know. This whole thing is just going to blow up. Going to be right over for UNC. I've always known UNC to be a cheater. I always thought they cheated my Georgetown Miles way back in 84 when they had Michael Jordan. Not 84, what was it, 83 or 85, when Jordan beat us at the buzzer?
Right.
I always thought they were cheating them, but it comes out of it, they've always cheated, just like Syracuse, this dirty program. But okay. They always get what they deserve in the end.
Right. All right, what's your thoughts there, Jeff?
Now, I'm curious how this works, and I guess this is in addition to a couple of years ago they had bunch of guys kicked off the team. So these new revelations, and I would be surprised if they get the death penalty, because based on what I've read, the NCAA is very reluctant to do that again. That was after SMU. That was a long time ago. Penn State was in danger of it, but they didn't get it. I don't see North Carolina getting the death penalty, but they're going to get some serious sanctions.
Because you remember, Rashard Matrance just a couple of years ago brought out allegations.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So check this out. This October report found problems running from 1993 to 2011, affecting more than 3,100 students. With the athletes across numerous sports accounting for roughly half the enrollment in problem courses. So, yeah, Black, I think that they're due to major stuff here. And I see it happening. Well, let me take a quick break. And then when I come back, I'm going to bring in another caller that we have, and we're going to talk some basketball. So let me take a break real quick. And we will be right back.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right. We are back. This is the FSP Crew Show. I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker, and Black Mike Wright. We are the crew. One of the few times in the past several months that we all been together. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. If you'd like to talk to all three. And without further ado, we're going to be talking about basketball, but let's bring in my esteemed on Skype. I think I know who this is, and he can't wait to get on the air. So I'm going to talk to bring him in. Victor, are you there?
Dude, why you got to put me down like that?
I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying I know you that you couldn't wait to get on the air. Say hello to your fellow the fellow crew guys in here. We got Mr. Mike Wright, long lost Wright.
Oh yes, I've been listening to all four. Somebody's taking a bath. It sounds like. I think that's Jeff.
Whatever.
It's been a very very long time since all four of us have been on the air together. And yes, I could not wait to test out my microphone. The soundboard mixer just came in, so I'm going to test that out on Saturday before I ship it off to Lance. But
okay.
I wanted to get on here because I was in the middle of doing a paper, and Mike sends a text aimed at a Redskin. I know we're talking about basketball, but he aimed it at a Redskin. I was like, oh, my God, what's going on?
Slow down. I didn't aim the text at anybody. It was just a breaking story that came out right before we came on air.
Tell him, Mike. Well, Tell him.
I'm just making sure.
You look at the latest. The latest probably 20, 30 minutes old.
Okay. I'm just making sure you're trying to, gear up my dandruff.
Come on. All right. Stop, Victor. Stop. Stop being so sensitive. Do I have to call you Caitlin?
Really?
Unnecessary roughness on Jerry.
Thank you very, very much. Because Jerry thinks he's just a shiznit today. It's all good because Sunday. I'm going to treat him like Caitlin. He going to need
okay.
a change. It's all right.
We'll see. Anyway, let's talk about the NBA Finals, but it's going to take place in less than 10, 15 minutes. The first game, which is being played in Golden State Klay Thompson is coming back off his concussion. He passed protocol. He's practiced. He's played. He's going to play. And also Kyrie Irving, who has been dealing with a sore knee, says he's going to play. I don't know how much time each one of these guys are going to get. I would think Kyrie Irving, and I'm only speculating here, would get less playing time than he would normally get versus Klay Thompson, who I think is a full go. This is going to be a very interesting series. I heard a quote from Paul Pierce saying that LeBron, he's favoring Cleveland Cavaliers. He thinks LeBron needs this in a worse way if he wants to be considered in the elite guys like Kobe or Michael or players of that ilk. He's been to five championships. He's won two and lost three. And Paul Pierce is saying that he needs to win this. And Paul Pierce is saying that he thinks Cleveland is going to win it. Myself, I'm going to reserve my thoughts because I'm going to open the floor up for you guys to give your analysis of what you think of, about both these teams and also how long you think it's going to go and who has the upper hand. And I'm going to go with Jeff first, and then Black, and then Victor.
Oh, that's really tough. If I had to pick a team, it'd be Cleveland because my mom is a big LeBron fan. Started watching basketball a couple of years ago. I don't know. I mean, they're both teams look pretty impressive. I think, Cleveland seems to be suffering from lack of depth due to injuries. But Kyrie Irving's playing tonight, right?
Yes.
Hopefully he'll be effective. I guess if I had to pick a team, it'd probably be Cleveland. I just want to see good games and see it legitimately go seven without any manipulations or whatever. This happens sometimes in the finals. I'd like to see somebody deep on the bench get an opportunity to shine. In particular, David Lee on Golden State, who's kind of become a forgotten man. But he was pretty good and pretty popular with the Knicks. And just maybe it's coincidental. Guy early in his career hustled, worked hard, got the big contract, and has declined since. I'd like to see him get a chance, but he hasn't been playing much. But it sometimes happens. Let the games begin.
Yeah, D. Lee has been over there putting on weight, Jeff. I don't know what's going on with him. He looks big, man, on that bench. This is going to be a very, very interesting series. I mean, you got LeBron, former MVP. You got the new MVP and Steph Curry. Steph Curry, they knocked off a lot of great teams to get here. But LeBron, I mean, look at the numbers right now. LeBron is averaging 27, 10 boards, and 8 assists during this postseason. With this Cleveland team, I mean, that's crazy. Being a Wizards fan, I can't root for Cleveland, but I also can't root for Golden State for the way they did Mark Jackson, and now Steve Kerr just smiled his way into the finals. So I'm conflicted in this series, but I think it'll go seven. But I have to give the edge to LeBron because he's been here before. I don't know how Golden State is going to react in tough situations in this finals. This is their first appearance, but they definitely had those shoulders. And Curry and Klay are on. It definitely could be a problem for Cleveland.
All right, Mr. Mouth. Mr. FSP, talk
Mr.
to me.
Mr. Mouth? Mr. Mouth? Really? Really? Okay. See, have your fun. Okay, check this out, guys. Just like Black, I'm a Wizard fan, and I would have loved to have seen the Wizards go against Golden State for the title, but it's not going to happen. But being out here...
I don't even want to remind you that Curry and Thompson could have been Wizards. I save that for another show.
Please save that for another show.
Thanks, Ernie Garfield. Thanks.
Don't tell me. You just made me change my mind. But I love Wall. I love Wall, and I like Thompson. But I'll take Wall and Thompson over Bill any day. But Bill is pretty good. But anyway, back to what I was getting to. You know, having the opportunity to work at these games and seeing these players, you know, before the cameras come on and all this other stuff, I've really become a Golden State fan. My family, for sure, has become Golden State Warriors fans. My wife is actually a fanatic and, you know, a crazy person. Because I said something about Golden State and her eyes got so big, I was like, what is wrong with you? Calm down. The bottom line for me is, I think Golden State is just the better team, plain and simple. And I think that they're going to prove that they're the overall better team throughout the series. Will it go five? Will it go six? Will it go seven? I don't know. But I can tell you this. If it turns into a shooting contest, Golden State shooters are more consistent than Cleveland. Kyrie's pretty good. At you know, jump shots or whatever. But after that, the only people that have been consistent were the Cavaliers, Shumpert and JR in that series versus Atlanta. Before that, they were not as consistent as you would like to believe. In Chicago, I think the last two or three games in the Chicago series is when they turned it on. I just don't see Cleveland winning the series. I believe if you turn LeBron into a jump shooter, he's going to fade, and Kyrie and the rest of those guys can't handle it. Iguodala can body him up. He's got the same frame, just a little older. I don't even think Draymond Green can hold his own with him. But I think Draymond is going to be covering who's the other forward out there. I can't remember.
You talking about Tristan Thompson?
Yeah, Thank you. Tristan Thompson, because that's going to be a battle for boards and physicality. You know, right there. I think that's going to be a very good matchup within the matchup. And Bogut versus Mozgov, that's going to be another good matchup. And Azili and Spate, now that Spate is back, I do not like Spate as an offensive threat, but I do like his defensive ability. So, I'm not sure if he's starting tonight or not, but you throw him in along with David Lee. I just think the bench players of Golden State are way better than the bench players of Cleveland, and that's going to be the difference in the series.
I'm not sure if I heard you correctly. Did you say that Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green were going to hold LeBron down?
No. I said that I believe Draymond Green is going to be covering Tristan Thompson, and Iguodala is going to guard LeBron. Now, I'm not saying that Iguodala is a great defender, but he has the body size and type that can body up against LeBron. And maybe he learned something while he was with them on the USA basketball team. I don't know. I wasn't there. You were at a bunch of those practices and stuff, so you might have some insight on that. But I think body-wise, either one of those guys can physically stand up to LeBron.
Now I remember the game. LeBron didn't play both of the games against Golden State this year, but he did play one game. And they used to run Draymond Green, they ran Andre Iguodala, they ran Klay Thompson, and I forgot who the other player was. And LeBron ended up with 42 points.
Is that all?
That was all.
Is that all? 42?
I don't know which one of these guys I really want to hold LeBron down. I'm not sure they can.
Well, I mean, whatever the case may be, a body on him is a good body. You know, understand what I'm saying? And you can't put Spade on him too slow. Millsap tried to do it, and he got embarrassed. You can't put Harrison on him, Harrison Barnes, because Harrison Barnes is too small, you know. And David Lee, he's good, but he's not, you know, gifted enough to deal with him. At least I don't think so.
Yeah, he's a little too slow to deal with LeBron. He's too slow footed to deal with LeBron. All right. I'm going to go around the horn because we come to the end of the show. I appreciate all you guys' input. It's definitely good to hear Black's voice again and be on the show. Hopefully he doesn't keep away again. He'll make this a regular habit of coming back on the show. Really appreciate his input and his wit. Anyway, I'm going to go around the horn. You guys have any closing comments that you want to say? That now would be your time. I'm going to start with Victor, and then Jeff, and then Black, and then I'll close the show out.
All right. Well, hopefully I sound good to the masses. Let me go into my baritone voice.
Oh, boy.
But silence. But what I want to say is this, ladies and gentlemen, go to spotonradios.com to check out these jokers here. No pun intended, Jeff. But check out my guys, Jeff the Joker, Black the Bookie. I don't know if you want to call the bookie anymore. JT ATM Money, The Master, Lance Goodman, our shows, The Master Plan, FSP Cruise Show, The Extra Point, FSP Show. We are going places and doing things. Their bios are getting updated. Their site is, their content is getting updated. We're going big places and long ways to bring you good information to help you win and do well in your fantasy leagues. Really soon, we're going to have locked content. What that means is you're going to need to subscribe to those specific pages to get that information. This Saturday, Jerry and I will be giving you AFC West breakdowns, but we're going to reserve some of our comments for the webpage. So get ready for that. We're doing things and we're doing them big. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, and hopefully we'll see you guys on Saturday's program. And I'm mad that the finals are showing the flag ceremony for Golden State, and I'm not there when they normally have it. That really upsets me. Hopefully I'll be there Sunday holding the flag and on TV.
Oh.
Shut up.
Sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
Vic, you missed it last week. We talked about soccer, which is pretty rare. And I remember telling Jerry that Sepp Blatter might still get reelected, and he was, but then he resigned a few days later. So I guess he had already bought and paid for those votes in advance. And
right.
Saturday, the big actions at the Belmont. American Pharoah looks great, but he's going to win it. There's a couple long shots I like. Mubtahij, I'm not even sure how to pronounce the name, is fresh. That's important for the Belmont. He didn't race in the Preakness. And Made from Lucky is also very fresh and has raced at Belmont before. I don't think either one of those will win, but they're a good chance to finish in the money.
All right, Black?
Y'all, let me just say, I'm very, very saddened by the transition of Bruce Jenner, the guy that was on the Wheaties box as I was a kid, going to this Caitlin foolishness. I don't know why people are praising him. This is just crazy, man. But also in boxing, don't forget this weekend, Miguel Cotto, Daniel Gale, live on HBO, 9 p.m. Eastern. Also, I want to send a man. It was a shocking news last Sunday. One of our local boxers in D.C., Larry the Cuban Assassin Riccio, got caught up in some crossfire at a cookout here. He's right now in the hospital. He's been in the hospital all week since Sunday in critical condition. I have no further updates on it because no information has been released, but we definitely wish him a speedy recovery.
Can I jump in real quick?
Go ahead.
Real quick. I forgot to mention one thing. Ladies and gentlemen, all of our shows have been affiliated with DraftKings. So when you go to our spotonradios.com site, click on the banners. Take one of those baseball or soccer, because Jeff brought it up, banners, go to DraftKings, sign up, load up, and play. You never know what you're going to get. And if you ever want to reach anybody on this program, that means Jeff, Black, or Jerry, send them an email. It's masterplanandcruiseshow@spotonradios.com. Again, that's masterplanandcruiseshow@spotonradios.com. And somebody needs some ice or something. I don't know what's going on in the background.
The party going on. Party going on. All right. All right. I want to thank everybody for showing up here and contributing in their own special way. Tune in next week, same time, same place, where we'll be deep into the playoffs, and we'll probably have a better picture of who's going to be the next NBA champion. And also on Saturday on the FSP show, I'm going to give my pick. I'm glad Jeff brought it up. I'm going to give my pick of the winner, I think, who's going to be in the Belmont. And I'm also going to give you some horses that I think are going to be in the mix for a trifecta. So I'm going to give you the winner, and I'm also going to try to give you the trifecta. Trifecta is picked in the first three horses, the first, second, and third horses. Hopefully I with my analyzing, I can bring out some people with some money. And like I said, get on DraftKings. You can win a ship load of money on DraftKings. With that being said, we are out of here.
Kendra Zormo.
with that being said, there's a lot of good jockeys, and the card in Belmont is always a good card come Belmont Day. So I'm going to probably give you a long shot in one of the other races too. So tune in. Even if you catch it on the archives, you got until Saturday to tune in for the FSP show. And I plan to give you a long shot that I think is going to win, and also the winner of the Belmont, along with hopefully a trifecta that can help you win some money. With that being said, until next week, we're out of here. See ya.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.